Randy?
Chair, you are on the record. Julie, can you hear us?
Yep, I'm on.
Thank you.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome to ADA's June 20th, 2024 board meeting. I'd like to call the meeting to order and ask Randy to do a roll call to board members.
Commissioner Sandy?
Here.
Commissioner Crum?
Here.
Sunday?
Absent.
Mr. Fogel?
Here.
Mr. Ellis?
Here.
Mr. Vivamore?
Here.
Chair Pruitt?
Here.
You have a quorum.
All right. Prior minutes for May 15th.
Agenda.
Oh, I'm sorry. Agenda. I already pressed it. Mr. Randy, do you have any changes for the agenda? Is this the original one that we have got here?
Sure, Chair, I do not have any changes.
Okay. I'll take a motion.
Mr. Chairman, this is Albert. I'd like to motion to approve the agenda as presented.
Is Bill Vivamore all second? Any comments, additions to the agenda? Any objections to adopting the agenda as presented? Hearing that our agenda is approved, that brings us now to the prior minutes, May 15th.
Mr. Chairman, this is Albert. I'd like to motion to approve the prior meeting minutes for May 15th.
Second. Has everybody had a chance to review? Any comments, deletions, additions, clarifications? Randy? Quick
clarification, please. 8A, page 6 of 7, first paragraph. Was that event satisfied? Did we get?
Member Ellis.
Randy.
That's correct. We did hold that event.
Thank you. That's all I have.
All right. Any further discussion? Any objections to adopting the minutes? Hearing none, they're adopted. Bring this item number 5, public comments. Anybody wishing to make a public comment, please limit it to 2 minutes. Please state your name and affiliation if you have one clearly for our record. Randy, is anybody online?
If there are any members on the line that wish to make a public comment, please press star 9 on your phone now. You will be recognized in the order that you called. Please clearly state your name and affiliation if you have one. Chair, there are no members on the line at this time.
Anybody in the boardroom wish to make a public comment? All right, seeing none, we will close the public comment section. Our agenda brings us right into the new business and executive session. I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, this is Albert. I'd like to move that the board enter an executive session for the purpose of discussing the following: ADA finances, loans, Blue Crest Loan, Investment Strategy, Juno Hydro, and other matters related to ADA and matters that are subject to specific legal advice, which is subject to attorney-client privilege and communications. These matters, which if discussed publicly, could have an adverse effect on the finances of ADA, are, number two, are matters that are attorney-client privileged, and number three, matters involving consideration of issues and that by law are not subject to public disclosure due to the executive or deliberative process privilege or other law. The executive session and matters discussed therein are proper subjects for an executive session under Alaska Open Meetings Act, reference Alaska Statute 44-62-310, C1, 3, and 4, and the Alaska Public Records Act.
This is Bill Vivamore. I second the motion.
Thank you. Randy, would you pull the board?
Commissioner Sandy? Commissioner Sandy?
Yes. Yes, did you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
Mr. Fogle?
Yes.
Mr. Elledge?
Yes.
Mr. Beavermore?
Yes.
Mr. Booth?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, so Randy.
Chair, you on the record?
Thank you. I'll advise the public that the board did not take any action on the matters discussed while in executive session. The session is limited to discussion of matters directly protected from public disclosure by the Open Meeting Act. All right. On the agenda, it brings us board members to item number B, resolution L24-04, Congress Circle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Resolution 2404 would approve a LPP loan to Congress Circle, LLC. They've been organized in the state of Alaska since 2014. The ADA portion of the loan is $3.3 million over a 25-year term, 5.97% interest. The property that is the subject of the loan has an appraised value of over $6 million. Resulting in a roughly 60% loan-to-value ratio. North Rim is the participating bank and has approved the loan on its end. The building is 100% occupied with primarily retail tenants. The loan is secured by a first deed of trust and a UCC filing on fixtures. And the loan meets all ADA requirements in the law and our regulations, and the staff recommends the board approve the loan.
All right. Does someone want to put the resolution on the table?
Mr. Chairman, this is Albert. I would like to motion to approve resolution number L24-04, Congress Circle.
All right. Thank you. And for the record, I'll say the resolution is for ADA purchased by the authority of a participating in Congress Circle, LLC. Discussion. Any board members have any discussion? I will note that Bill Moore had to leave the board meeting. Hearing no discussion, Randy, would you poll the board?
Commissioner Sandy?
Yes.
Commissioner Crum?
Yes.
Mr. Fogle?
Yes.
Mr. Elledge?
Yes.
Chair Pruse?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Thank you. That brings us to item number C under A on our agenda, resolution L24-05, 7500 OSH LLC.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Resolution 2405, which is before the board, is a loan participation program project. The loan, the borrower is 7500 OSH LLC. They've been organized in the state of Alaska since 2023. ADA is asked to loan just over $1.5 million on a 25-year term at 5.77% interest. The property that is the subject of the loan has an appraised value of $2.25 million, resulting in a 75% loan-to-value ratio. North Rim is, again, the participating bank and has approved the loan on its end. The building is a two-story warehouse and office building. It is 100% occupied with primarily retail tenants. The loan is secured by a first deed of trust with a UCC filing on the fixtures, and the loan meets all ADA requirements, and staff recommends approval.
Thank you. Want to put that on the table?
Mr. Chairman, I would like to motion to approve resolution number L24-05. Resolution of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority regarding purchase by the authority of a participation in 7500 OSH LLC.
PB Elledge, I'll second.
Thank you. All right, discussion for resolution 24-05? No questions? All right. Randy, would you poll the board?
Commissioner Sandy?
Yes.
Commissioner Crum?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Elledge?
Yes.
Chair Pruse?
Yes. right. Item number D, Resolution G24-06, Bluecrest.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. The resolution before the board would authorize a settlement compromise of a longstanding loan with Bluecrest. The original loan was for $30 million, approved by the board in 2015. Due to conditions in the industry and other factors, appropriation risk with tax credits, the company became financially stressed, and that resulted in a number of forbearances and modifications of the loan over the last 4 years. The terms offered here are a $3 million payment by July 1, 2024, an additional $3 million payment plus interest at 8% due a year later. The loan is secured by a number of different items of collateral, including a man camp, various items of equipment, et cetera, all listed in the resolution. Staff recommends approval.
Do I have that resolution?
I do.
I don't have it in my back pocket. Thank you. Okay. All right. So I understand the. So Randy, I understand the representative of Bluecrest is here.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Johnson is present.
All right. Does anybody, board members, have questions for Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
All right, Mr. Johnson, would you come up? Please just come up right over here.
Okay.
Right. Just press the button so your mic's on.
Okay.
Hello.
All right, Albert.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate you coming to the board meeting and staying with us for part of the day. I've been on the board now for 5+ years, and I think we've voted on this every year that I have been on the board. Same can go for the rest of the board members here. We have kind of a trust issue with Bluecrest, and we want to be ensured that if we do make this adjustment, that Bluecrest will abide by the terms. Can you just tell us again, why we should trust you at this juncture, and how confident that we would receive both final payments.
Okay, yes. First of all, I want to thank you, thank the board for your patience and cooperation over the years. It's been a long, difficult journey, but we are now to the point where we have a huge, we have a huge gas field. And we have an oil field that needs investment to continue drilling. We're getting close there. We've got the state legislature approved the HB50 bill to authorize reserve-based lending through ADA for the project. That has helped the investment community around the world become more interested in working with us. And they see that the state is actually cooperating with that. There's really no question on the technical side as far as the gas in the ground and the oil in the ground. It's just a matter of making the investments to get it out. And we've spent a little over $400 million so far, our investors had. The private people, and they've reached the end of what they can invest. And so that's why we're looking for new investors and talking to folks. Doing this deal will greatly help us, allow us to move ahead first with the oil drilling program and simultaneously with the lead work for the gas development that we have.
And what about making sure that ADA is repaid the two payments that are in this agreement?
Right, and so
what we have trouble digesting is we were told probably last month that you could not make the regular principal and interest payments, but then you can come up with $3 million for July 1st. So help us understand that discrepancy or two different thought processes.
Well, just making a loan payment really doesn't solve the problem for us. And settling the loan, what we've done is we've talked to our existing lenders, and one of them has a little bit of money that they could invest, they could put it back in. And so we do have, we've got the paperwork that they've all signed and agreed to for this one lender to pay the $3 million. And then they understand that we owe the balance. They've agreed to cover that, we will pay accrued interest over time. I also anticipate if there is a royalty reduction program from the state that we would share that, that would be paid. I guess 50% of that would go to ADA toward the payments. And that would be, that would help. But I do anticipate, you know, we're planning if we can, get the reserve-based lending program going with ADA, we're ready to start immediately with finalizing the rig work. We have to do some maintenance and double check what all we've got to do, but we've got that would be the first step. We're already permitted for our well to drill, so we've got the permitting work done. And then we would like to be drilling within however long it takes, maybe 4 or 5 months. The well itself, you talk about how could we pay you back. The well itself, it is going to be just like the previous wells we've drilled, come on very strong. That would be an easy fix to be able to pay you the additional remaining money next year without a doubt if we can get the well producing.
And in the off chance that you can't, what is the guarantee that we will be made whole or through this agreement made whole
for
next July?
Through the agreement, you've got a collateral of the rig camp and a lot of equipment that goes with it that's pretty saleable. You know, the camp could be moved. The rig is a harder story, but the camp itself would be valuable to anybody, you know, working on our slope and the equipment.
And how many Alaskans do you employ currently?
When we're not drilling, we're somewhere around 20, and it's 100%. All of our people up here are Alaskans, and that's been our focus as much as possible. You know, I grew up here. I'm from Kenai,
yeah.
And I want to see that. But when we're drilling, we still prefer all Alaskans if we can get them. But drilling is a large group. You know, we have a lot of people.
How much is that well going to cost you to drill?
The well, the H10 well, including the cost for getting the rig prepared, everything ready to go, is around $50 million.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Randy?
Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. If I recall correctly, the Trident well was an oil well that you were proposing.
That's correct, yeah.
And has the horizon changed any due to the natural gas situation in the Cook Inlet?
Are
you targeting natural gas and oil now? So the engineering has changed some on the well?
No. The natural gas is a shallower reservoirs, and we can't reach that from onshore. The well itself, if it produces like the previous wells, it will have quite a bit of gas production that comes from it. But this is something that
entrained.
It's entrained. There are gas zones within the major oil zone, and it produces. The last well we drilled, the last three, have produced quite a bit of gas to start with, and then it naturally declines.
So in order to reach the gas horizon, you'll have to have some sort of jackup or semi or some sort of rig that'll be over the play?
Yes, and we've done a lot of that design already. We've spent tens of millions on that work, preparing for that. And yes, it will actually be a standalone platform, just like the others in the Cook Inlet. We will not drill into the oil zone from there, so there'll be no chance of an oil spill.
Sure.
But yes, it'd be a small platform with a rig on the platform is our plan. And we've already done, you know, the basic design for that. We've already done the subsea scans of the seafloor to see where the pipeline would go. It's about a 3-mile pipeline.
So most of the entrained gas that Bluecrest is currently producing is used on site to provide power for the facility and the camp. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
And that probably won't change with the Trident well.
That's correct. So we won't be using much more gas because it takes about the same amount to run the plant.
Mm-hmm.
But so most of that, almost all that gas will be sold.
Mm-hmm. And the rig is diesel powered, correct?
Correct. That's right.
Okay. And you're working towards the gas play and have some of the engineering done, and I assume that you're looking at different rigs.
Well, we would actually drill those wells from the platform, so we wouldn't need a jackup rig for that.
From the platform. There's a platform over the horizon now?
We would set a platform there, permanent production platform, and that would have a rig on it like some of the others in the inlet do.
And that's going to take a few years to bring that production?
That's correct. It's about a 2.5 to 3 year project.
After the platform is set?
Oh, no. Actually, by the time the platform is set, it comes pretty much put together. We set it, and we can be drilling within a few months after the platform is in place and actually have gas sales within a few months after that.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Further questions?
You had mentioned royalty relief program from the state. What do you have in mind that the legislature to contemplate or DNR on that for that royalty relief side? What level?
Yeah, we've not been the primary person asking for that, but. What we're looking at, I know proposals this year that did not pass in the legislature, ranged from a full reduction of 12.5% royalty from the state to maybe a 50% royalty from whatever. But the royalty, state's royalty is 12.5%. So whatever the legislature, if they choose to do that, would do, you would get half of our share of that.
And then the full set platform, the permanent platform with the rig on it, as opposed to a jackup rig, does that change the cost dynamic of eventually getting to the gas play? Which is cheaper, which is a faster timeline?
So if we were to just drill a rig offshore and drill the well offshore, we'd still have to be able to produce it, and we'd need a platform to do that. We've looked at subsea completions. And because of the ice condition potential in the wintertime, we wouldn't be able to intervene if there was a problem. And actually putting a platform in place with a rig on it is very cost effective.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Benji.
Karen Cruz.
Go ahead, Julie.
I appreciate you being there to speak before the board. You know, I think you're aware the state agencies, you know, are often under fire about making sure that we are maximizing leases to the benefit of Alaskans, and while at the same time, of course, the AIDA board is up against, you know, fiduciary responsibility in terms of, you know, the loans that we have and what's in front of us. Could you just respond a bit to those who might have criticism or concerns that, you know, this company has had a lot of time to produce, and, you know, there's going to be commentary that somebody else might be able to come in and produce faster to greater benefit of to Alaskans. And I'm just curious about what your thoughts would be on that.
Okay, well, thank you for the question, because I hear that frequently from folks. We are, when we had funding before, we worked very quickly and effectively, very efficiently. We now, with the funding that we believe we're going to be able to get, will continue that on then. Our problem wasn't that we were inefficient or not able to get the work done. It was that it cost, we had to make a lot of investments. And we didn't have the investment funding to continue doing that. And that's what we're hopefully going to be able to move forward with now.
I'll just one more. So with this proposed resolution in front of the board, does the removal, you know, getting the ADA deal off and the default clause going away, does that actually help you in your fundraise aspects for future endeavors?
Yes, it does. It certainly will, yes.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Randy, do you want to add any more?
Yes, Mr. Chair, just a few final points of note that are really important is that the borrower, Bluecrest, has repaid the entire amount of the principal of the loan and an additional interest in an amount that will allow us to recover over 6%. So that's important for the public to know, and board members should know. In addition, the bill HB 50 that's been mentioned about reserve-based lending does have an account set up and does provide for the legislature to appropriate funds to that account for the purpose of that program.
Okay. Thank you. All right. If I have any further questions, I'll put something on the table.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to motion resolution number G24-06. Resolution of ADA approving loan payoff with Bluecrest Alaska Operating LLC and co-borrowers.
Second. Randy.
Thank you, Randy. Thank you, Albert. Discussion? Hearing none? All right. Randy, would you pull the board, please?
Commissioner Sandy?
Yes.
Commissioner Crum?
Yes.
Mr. Fogel?
Yes.
Mr. Ellich?
Yes.
Yes.
The motion passes.
Thank you. Next up on our agenda is resolution G24-07, and it's Juno Hydro support. Randy?
Yes, Mr. Chair, resolution before the board, 2407, reviews the mission of ADA related to energy projects and its purpose of reducing the cost of power in different communities in Alaska in different locations. Also walks through the authority's development finance program. And then we have an application from an entity, Juno Hydropower, Inc., a business corporation, good standing with the state, and Juno Hydro has applied for federal grants and other financing, and also is before ADA. So the resolution authorizes and repeats the efforts of ADA that are to be made with bringing the cost of energy down, and authorizes staff to continue and proceed with a review of the project.
When you say proceed with the review, is that, is it investment in or a loan?
The resolution, right, that's correct, Mr. Chair.
All right, and so does ADA have any assets in Juneau?
ADA does have assets in Juneau, Snetisham Dam and the transmission lines. It's a large investment. I think it's been owned for several decades. That is a asset that Juno Hydropower would utilize the transmission lines to move power.
All
Okay, and what is the process on the transmission line?
For accessing the transmission line, there has to be an RCA decision that the access is allowed and approved, and this resolution would point out to the RCA that ADA is that type of access supports our mission and efforts.
Okay. All right. Looks like there's someone here from Juno Hydro to be able to kind of give status of their project.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and commissioners and board members. I'm Duff Mitchell. I'm the managing director of Juno Hydropower. Been leading the project from its inception of dream to vision to execution since 2009. Hydropower, like mining, takes a long time due to the permitting process. I have the extra hurdles of locating a hydropower that's very beautiful, has a lot of power, would be about 20 to 25% new generation capacity for Juno. But it was located in the roadless rural area of the Tongass Forest. We have the FERC permit. We have a special use permit from the Forest Service. We've worked diligently with our community. We have no opposition from any environmental and or business groups. And the project has an anchor tenant of Kensington Mine. And mining operations take about 30 to 35% of their cost of goods is energy. And lowering the cost of power extends life of mines because you can get down and you can take lower grade ores, which is where this mine needs to go. This project would not only serve that mine, but I would put in perspective, Kensington burns more diesel and generates more power than the city of Haines and Skagway combined. It's a voracious user of power. And the jobs it has is about 400, and the average wage in the mining industry in Alaska is $130,000. So I'm just putting in the magnitude of how important that mine is to our community. Back in 2009, I went to Kensington and said, hey, I'll bring you power. Can you invest? And they said, no. We'll do one thing for you. Here's a handshake deal. If you can deliver the power less than diesel, we're buying it from you. And you can't tell anybody unless you go to banks. So I had to, like, walk around people saying I was nuts, crazy, because I didn't have a customer, and they went to an NDA. They went, that has expired. Now we're in 2024. They're ready to purchase. We're ready to deliver. Not only is this project a 19.8 megawatt project that will generate 116,000 megawatt hours, but it's also 46 miles of new transmission line. Alaska only has 1,697 miles of transmission line, and so this is investment that invests in our future of our state to move transmission high voltage for another 46 miles. Basically, 46 miles is close to 3% new high-voltage transmission line in Alaska. So it is significant. Like Randy said, we have the Rural Utility Service, USDA, as the primary loaner for the project. They want a loan because even though it is Juno, it's North Juno, it is rural, it is in a remote area. And if you fly over Sweetheart Lake, we got bears. And if you go near Kensington, you got bears. So there's more bears than there is people. So we're moving power into rural Alaska. The other advent, an update is that with the Inflation Reduction Act, finally hydropower was recognized as a renewable resource and therefore is eligible for tax credits. So out of the construction tax credits, we're almost eligible for up to 50% of all the construction costs, which we've shared with ADA staff, which is profound. The bottom line is that not only are we reducing the power costs for the mine, there's another mine just made announcements on our road system, Herbert Glacier Mine, Grand Portage Resources. They just made an announcement on June 12th. They are now over 2 million ounces of inferred and I forgot what the other term is, inferred and indicated reserves. 2 million ounces of gold is $4.6 billion. They need power, and they're not probably going to get permitted unless they're on clean and renewable energy, and we're here to help them. We have an agreement with them. So I'm looking at hydropower not for just now for Kensington, but what is Juneau going to need in 10 years? What is our community going to need in 25 years? I have to take a long-term vision because hydropower is a 100-year asset. People joked and laughed in my community about spending money on Snedisham because it was so much more expensive than oil at the time. Those people look like geniuses now, the ones that promoted hydropower, because there is nothing cheaper than old hydropower. The problem is you got to build new hydropower before you can get it paid off for the 30-year note or whatever to make it cheap, because as long as it rains, and, you know, I live in rain country, as long as it rains
and snows,
we have a 35-mile watershed, so it all goes to the lake, and that's going to be used as power for not only for me, but for my grandchildren and their grandchildren. So I'm working with Ada and the staff to invest in the long-term future benefit. The other thing is the chairman mentioned and Randy mentioned the Snedisham asset. The Snedisham transmission line is 8 miles from the project. So out of that 46 miles, the first 8 miles is to hook up Juneau, because once I hook up to that big extension cord, the 138 kV Snedisham line, I don't have to build a brand new line. The Snedisham line is underutilized. So it's like a big pipe that's part full. I want to put our power into it so we can benefit not only the rural areas of Juneau, but this would benefit ALNP, which is the local incumbent utility that manages the project. We've calculated out that per our agreement that's not signed, we would be paying in excess of $1 million, maybe $1.1 million a year to utilize the Snedisham assets. They're called the wheeling. If you prorate that out with their current rate base, we're saving everybody in Juneau 0.4 cents. Now, if that's 100% kickback, now they're going to take some, they're going to manage it, whatever. But in the regulatory world, you can only make your cost basis. And if you're throwing extra money at the utility, then that money has to go somewhere. I mean, some of it's going to be pocketed by the shareholder, but the RCA likes to put that back toward the rate base. So we are reducing not only the cost for our mining, not only preserving the jobs, but we're lowering the cost of power for Juneau, our governmental operations, and for the future of my community, for the prosperity that we're trying to encounter. So I had lots of stuff to talk about, and as you could understand, someone who's been working on a project since 2009, I could talk all afternoon, but I'm going to stop and listen to any questions that you may have.
Is there any other beneficiaries besides the mine in Juneau that would benefit from this?
Absolutely. Thank you. One, the jobs. Department of Labor has supported us. I have a letter from the Commissioner of Labor. I have a letter of support from IBW. They love new transmission. We don't build enough of it in Alaska. We need to build more. We're starved. I was talking to Senator Sullivan, and he was talking about how we're less roaded than Connecticut, and although we're much larger. And I said, but sir, we have 1,697 miles of transmission line. Puerto Rico has 3,500. Of high voltage and medium voltage. Now, if you take the national number, that we have 700,000 miles of medium and high voltage transmission line, and you divide the 1,697 into that numerator denominator, we're an asterisk. We're not even 1% of the nation's. So how it's going to help is Gold Belt is going to develop their 1,400 acres. They're at the end of one of the transmission lines to Kensington. It's going to open up land for development for Gold Belt. We have a letter of support from them. The Marine Highway System is looking at a road. The road's already existing, putting a ferry terminal on North Juneau to shorten the distances between Haines and Skagway to turn around and have faster and more reliable leg on the Northern Link Canal. They need energy, And the letter from Commissioner Ryan at DOT is that's the leg that they're looking at for these diesel hybrid electric battery ferry systems. And, you know, not all electric. I'm talking about diesel hybrid battery electric systems. And, you know, those are tried and proven. I mean, our World War II subs were exactly that technology that fought in the Japanese War. So, you know, there's opportunities other than the mines. RUS doesn't want me to just sell to mines. They want me to develop rural America and have other developments, which Gold Belt, I'm not here to speak on their development plans, but given the opportunity for power, they're going to develop a lot more out there.
Is there any excess power now in the general area?
It's Trump tight. We don't have enough to do all the docks. There was a statement given by ALMP that if we electrify the docks, which, by the way, the CBJ has put in a city and borough general has put in a electrification grant to EPA for $50 million earlier. The local utility said that they can only do one dock 25% of the time. So they're pretty tight. We would be able to open up the opportunity for there to be no constraint for power. We would obviously work with them as a sister utility, and that's one reason why we're filing a CPCN so that we can get regulatory approval for interconnections rather than just begging. And we would be able to supply and support the growth of Juneau through the other utility system for not only dock electrification. We have an explosion of air source heat pumps. The average air source heat pump, if you go from oil home heating in Juneau, which we're 86%, the housing stock is on diesel. I know up here in Rail Belt we have natural gas, but in Juneau it's diesel. Before it was diesel, it was coal. But it evolved to diesel. If you go on an air source heat pump, you're saving each household equivalent of about a permanent fund check. So people are voting with their pocketbooks. They're not voting necessarily with the environment, although it's cleaner. The other point I'll make with the growth, Mr. Chair, is that Juneau is recognized nationwide as a hub for electric vehicles. We've got short distances. Doesn't matter if your battery only gives you 80 miles or 120 miles. It's a great, because at 12 cents and 13 cents a kilowatt, it's a lot cheaper than paying $4 plus for a gallon of gas. The Subaru dealer in Juneau is the number one EV dealer of all the Subaru dealers across the country. So, you know. So there's a lot of growth opportunity, and I think we're walking into, you know, some place where, you know, I believe you got to use Alaska Resources what it's at and where it's at. And right now where we're at, it's hydro in Juneau.
How many tons of NOx do you think that you will displace at your stated production level of megawatts? Have you all looked at that?
I have, and it's in our EIS that we probably produced, but I can't quote that to you because I just can't remember that. But I can't.
It is a significant number.
It's huge. The mine itself, Kensington, is 15.3% of all the greenhouse gases generated in the city and borough of Juneau. That becomes zero. And not only does it become zero this year, it becomes zero for every year thereafter. So, to your point, Mr. Ellich, it's huge. It's huge.
You shouldn't.
Chairman, for the thank you. This is Commissioner Sandy. I appreciate you being there and providing some more information about the resolution that's in front of us on this project. And I'm a fan of hydro, and I'm glad to hear that through the IJA it's been recognized as a renewable resource, which it should be. And I'm glad to hear your statement that you're not aware of any opposition to this project. I think it's unfortunate, and I was sorry to hear that the roadless rule will impact that project, because certainly, you know, in Ketchikan or the Intertie project, we've seen impact to cost related to the roadless rule and being able just to maintain it, let alone if it had happened in the front end to build. So can you talk a little bit about your preparation and where you are in the permit process and your thoughts on that, on the roadless rule in particular?
Sure, that's a very good question. We don't have a road to our lake. We have a 9,621-foot tunnel. I needed 9 foot of diameter for the water conveyance to optimize the power out of the water, out of the lake. What we decided to do was to avoid a road is we built a 15-by-15 horseshoe tunnel. We're going to build it 9,621 feet. We go up the tunnel. We build the dam. We leave electrical infrastructure there to pull logs and other stuff out. We electrify by putting a power line on there. And then we have no road in the roadless. The rest of the roads that we need are on state land. We conveniently put a coastal road along the state right-of-way or state ADNR tidelands. So we mitigated as much roadless impact as we could. We got credit for doing that in the sense that we tried to mitigate as much as we could. And so our relationship with the Forest Service was that they actually ended up becoming supportive. The other thing I would mention, Commissioner, is that, and Randy, when he had another hat on at the governor's office, we talked about power site classifications. Power site classifications are public land orders that happened in the 20s and 30s. They used to be directed and given by the Secretary of Interior. They have now been pulled. They take an act of Congress. Sweetheart Lake has a power site classification. It's a public land order. And basically it says that for the perpetuity of the citizens of the United States, this is a hydropower asset. Media corporations could not claim it. You cannot change the land status. And so we believe, and we argued with the Forest Service, that really we trump the roadless rule because this was a public land order. I think ours is 1923. They said, don't argue it. We're going to try to let you get through it. So, but I did point that out in my EIS and my application. So to your point, we did have a little bit of status, or I would say stature, against the roadless. But I tried to avoid litigation because I didn't want to be the test case on my dollar on hydropower in the roadless rule. There is some caveats in the executive order that originally came out that some hydropower was allowable. The problem is the Forest Service has land management, like basically call it zoning for a simpler word. And so they've kind of checkerboarded some of the hydropower, so it's difficult to build transmission line and hydropower. But all of our FERC, our EIS resolved all of our FERC licensing, so we have all the permits. We have the 404 permit. We have the Forest Service permit. We have everything ready to go except for the financing, which we need to have for the FERC agency, Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, to give us the notice to proceed. Now, we do need some CBJ conditional use permits. We had it just for the hydropower project, but they asked us to include the 46 miles of transmission line. I will be applying for that when we file for our certificate of public convenience and necessity. And I'm not saying we're perfect in all the permits because ADNR still needs to finalize a couple of our submarine cable lease requests to Kensington, but they've already been gone through the public process, and we're just awaiting for those to be issued. So I know that's a long answer, but I hope I gave you situational awareness, Commissioner.
You did. Thank you very much.
There's no HVDC. It's all high voltage, not direct current. It's not direct current.
No, I'm a fan of DC, just because you can go great distances with DC. But because the Snedisham line is already at 138 kV, and because of my environmentals, I didn't want to have a big switch yard to move from like a DC to an AC, smaller footprint, because every time you switch, you got to have a bunch of equipment. What we decided to do was to mate exactly at the 138 kV, so we're producing at our dam site or powerhouse 138 kV, and then we're connecting to the Snedisham at 138 kV. For some of the same reasons, when we interconnect on the north side of Juneau, we go 69 kV to make it easier to mate with what's already existing. So we're AC. I will add, though, that we're putting battery energy storage system because with AC, you have voltage regulation issues when you spread distances. And that is another public benefit because not only will it stabilize the Juneau grid, but anytime there's an outage anywhere on the thing, that battery kicks in, and that's going to also help the Juneau ratepayers. It's going to help our hospital when you have medical equipment that's highly sensitive and has little brownouts and fades. It's going to definitely help Juneau by us putting in that battery energy storage system. It's also going to help the mine because they're at the tail end of that line, and it's going to help them stabilize their power.
Okay. Any further questions for Beth? Well, thank you. Thank you
for the opportunity.
Are you in Juneau for this?
Say again.
In Juneau?
I came from Juneau this morning to be here with you all. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. All right. Any further discussion or I'll entertain a motion?
Mr. Chairman, this is Albert. I'd like to motion authority resolution number G24-07, resolution of ADA in support of qualified energy developments.
Any further discussion? Adam?
I'd just like to say, all development's exciting, but well thought out long-term planning like this that opens up brand new areas where there's already an existing demand, and it opens up assets for Escondida Corp down there, for the mines, which are just these key economic players for all of Southeast. I'm excited to continue to move forward just to look at this to make sure that we can be a part of it and or that it's done the right way, but it's a long-term asset. Again, hydro is a 100-year play.
Thank you, Adam. Well, I appreciate it. I encourage the ADA and the staff, should this pass, to engage in this project, take a look at it. 3 weeks from Sunday, obviously. If there's a place where ADA can participate, that makes sense. We look forward to that report back.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chair.
All right. Without further discussion, Mayor, would you poll the board?
Commissioner Sandy?
Yes.
Commissioner Crum?
Yes.
Mr. Fogel?
Yes.
Mr. Ellich?
Yes.
Chair Proof?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Thank you. Okay, back to our agenda. Brings us to director comments.
Thank you, Mr. Randy. Chair.
Go ahead, Randy.
Yeah, just briefly, Chair, some updates on some projects. West Sioux projects progressing with the field season this year. We'll be ready to apply for the core permit in the fall. We are engaged in outreach as well. We were in Squetna June 5th. We'll be in Willow June 28th. And there'll be more events through the summer. So the outreach is critical, of course, to educating the public and gathering comments, frankly, on the project. So West Sioux's in a good position. Ambler, we're still waiting for the BLM record of decision that has not been issued yet. As a side note, Senator Sullivan put some language in a defense bill that would force the BLM to issue the record of decision and the right-of-way permit in 30 days from enactment of that bill. That language is not final yet. It's still got to go through the Senate. So we'll see where that ends up, but we're tracking that closely. We're also engaged in quite a bit of outreach to the communities at the west end of the road, Ambler, Shugnack, and Kobuk. And we think we've had one tri-community meeting so far. We're going to have another one within about 30 days. And feedback, there's concerns, but there's a lot of positive desire for jobs and economic development in those communities. And I will stop in the village stores when I'm there, and the prices are really tough. So Miles Cleveland, the chief from Ambler, had a really good comment, and you got to have money to go to the store. So people are supportive of jobs and economic development. So I think we'll get good support from those communities in the end. We're also another project we're undertaking, a kind of a deep dive into is the Ketchikan shipyard. So we'll be reporting back on that in the next couple of meetings with our findings and recommendations.
All right. Any questions?
Randy, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
Is there any update on the Section 1002 area?
Member Fogel, on the 1002 area, the litigation is ongoing. Those cases were filed, you know, quite a while ago. They continue to kind of grind through the courts. I haven't seen, there's been, I think, two or three hearings in Congress on the House side on 1002. There's been some hearings on the Senate side. Senator Murkowski has expressed her frustration with Secretary Holland, and so has Senator Sullivan. But, you know, the federal government is not, to date, relenting on the cancellation of our leases. There is another sale that must be held by December of 2024, and we're working in-house with staff and an outside consultant to review all the geologic information that's known about not only ANWR, which there's pretty sparse, but there's a lot of fair amount of information on the other side of the line, on the state side, around Point Thompson, Jade Sourdough, Flaxman Islands, some others. So we'll also be able to report to the board on that, I think, in the next probably two meetings.
Thank you.
Chairman Cruz, if I could just take Executive Director Raro's outreach and say that, you know, I was able to participate in one of those community visits and was just so impressed by the ADA team and the executive director and all the effort that they put into helping organize those meetings. And really, the communities were very welcoming, and it was just refreshing to hear support for the project, a lot of really great questions, and just be welcomed by those communities. So thanks very much to his team.
Okay. Next item, Mr. Chair, is the loan dashboard report between July 1st of 23 to May 31, 24. It has received roughly $12.9 million net of fees. There is a fair amount of activity in the LPP, and you've seen that today. Tiffany's doing a great job and her team. Small Business Economic Development Loan Program and the Economic Development SBA Loan Program, Small Business Program, PACE is, you know, there, but it could be more, and so there's a SBA official visiting Anchorage here shortly, and we've got an appointment with him. We're going to see if there's anything we can do to boost up that activity as well.
Okay. We got static summary, statistics summary?
There is a statistics summary in the members' packets. Total loans in the small business account is 44.33 in the rural development initiative fund account, 77 total, roughly 13 million outstanding. We think there's a fair amount of business out there that we may be able to obtain with some efforts to get the word out about the program, market the program, or tweak a few things. We have defederalized it, so it used to be constrained by federal rules. So we'll be working on this and able to report back at the next meeting, you know, what we're able to achieve.
I guess that brings us to the next board meeting is August 7th.
That's right, Chair.
So July's off. Ooh. Just in time for Reds, since we had no Kings. Up here in South Central. I don't know what Southeast is doing, but or what's the, anybody know what's going on in Crystal Bay for Kings? That's close to? You know?
Tail race is in.
The what?
The tail race.
Oh, yeah, they're at my place, too. I counted 50 of them on Sunday, swimming around and looking at them. Nothing I could do about it, you know? So... Okay, item number 8, board comments.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
I would just like to thank Randy and his staff for doing an exceptional job, especially being creative with some of our programs and pushing the lawsuits that we have for our state rights through ANILCA and other landmark legislation. So just want to say thank you to you all.
Adam?
Yeah, I appreciate the good work today, great frank discussion, and the insight of the staff has put together plans, passed a lot of resolutions today in order to move projects forward, and this new information is presented, so thank you to the team.
Thank you. Randy, anything to say?
I have no further comments other than appreciation.
Thank you. I'd like to thank the Randy staff, too. A lot of work. But we've got accomplished a lot today. There's a lot of exciting possibilities in front of us. Of course, it takes time, effort, and resources to get those to the finish line, and it's a slow process with two steps forward and one step back. I'd like to congratulate John on his recent appointment to the RCA. Wish him all the luck. Commissioners, John?
I will be taking speak tour, and there's still
okay. All right. Well, that's good news. Thank the board members. I hope everybody has the rest of a good 4th of July holiday in July. Lots of fun. And with that, I will take a motion for adjournment.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Hearing no objection, we are adjourned till August. Thank you very much.